Welcome to Earth Matters. This is Allison Civic, Executive Director of Gila Resources Information Project, and I'm your host for today's program. Joining us today is Alicia Edwards, Executive Director of the Volunteer Center of Grant County, that works to end hunger and poverty in Grant County through a multitude of short and long-term projects designed to increase individual and community self-sufficiency and resiliency. Alicia is also the co-chair of the Grant County Food Policy Council. Welcome, Alicia.
Thank you.
So it's shocking to learn that in our country, the richest nation in the world, millions of people do not have enough to eat. One in five kids in America, that's 16 million children, live in families that struggle to put food on the table. Here in New Mexico, the situation is worse. One in three children experience hunger. And every week, more than 40,000 New Mexicans across the state seek food assistance. So we're going to learn today more from Alicia about the role of the Volunteer Center in alleviating hunger in our community. And we're also going to discuss the broader concept of food security and what that means in the short term as well as the long term, especially as we work to build resiliency in our food systems in the face of climate change. So let's start off, Alicia, by talking about the Volunteer Center. Tell us more about how the Volunteer Center was started and sort of what an overview of what you all do.
Well, the Volunteer Center was started in February of 2004. A group of folks that were associated with the Health Council were meeting to talk about community needs and having an organization that could provide volunteer opportunities for local residents was identified as a need. At that time, it was pretty common. There were volunteer centers across the country. There were actually, Volunteer Center was one of five in the state. When I came along in 2006, there was more of a struggle with funding the mission of matching volunteers with opportunities. And as an organization, as we began to look at how we were going to sustain ourselves and what the community needs really were, we identified poverty as being sort of the foundational issue that affected all the other things that we saw happening in the community. And actually, the inaugural program that started the Volunteer Center that really got funding for the Volunteer Center was Partners for Seniors. And Partners for Seniors is a companionship program, matches a volunteer with a senior. Studies show that the longer a senior remains in their home, the better off they are, and the less cost to society, that kind of thing. And as the Volunteer Center evolved and we began to have more and more contact with seniors, one of the things that we began to see was that hunger was an issue for seniors. We also had partnered with Sherman Russell in the school district on the Alimento para El Niño program early on, and that's a weekend backpack program for kids that don't get enough to eat. And so we were already sort of on the edges of looking at hunger for seniors and kids. And we had an opportunity. We got one of the early Community Enhancement Fund grants. We actually got a series of them to bring a series of Ruby Payne workshops to the county, Bridges Out of Poverty. And we did four of those workshops over, probably an 18-month period. And we had over 500 people attend those workshops, and they were really about how people in service work, anything from social workers to police officers and kind of anybody in between, how poverty really affected their work, the effectiveness of their work. And that started us really looking how we could engage volunteers in ending hunger and poverty in Grant County. We did a series of town hall meetings around the county in the fall of 2008. We met with lots and lots of people around the county in about a six-month period, and what came out of those conversations was four priorities. People really wanted to work on community gardens. They wanted a community food pantry that served everyone. They wanted to address senior hunger issues and children's hunger issues. So those four things have really created the direction that the Volunteer Center has been moving in since then. One of the really big things that happened around that time was Melanie Goodman, who at that time was Senator Jeff Bingaman's Grant County assistant, was very interested in the work that we were doing, really interested in the fact that we were doing these community conversations, and invited me to sit down with the senator and talk about our work. And what came out of that conversation was a suggestion from Senator Bingaman that he thought that there was a way he could help us do that work. And what that really turned out to be was one of the last earmarks that came out of Congress out of that time period. And it was a $475,000 Rural HUD Special Projects Grant, something like that. Mm-hmm. Okay. A lot of federal acronym kind of stuff. But that provided the foundational funding for the Commons. So that's sort of an overview of how we got to where we are today. The process of working with the community around those topics and the process of putting together the Commons is really informed what we're doing today.
The Commons is the Volunteer Center's new home, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit, because that's a really impressive building and want to get into the details of that building.
For sure.
So what does hunger look like in Grant County? I don't think people are always familiar with or recognize how big of an issue this really is here in Silver City and Grant County. We don't necessarily understand what that looks like for kids, for families in general, and maybe you could give people a sense of what that looks like, because it seems to me like from what I'm seeing and what we're hearing in the news, this is an increasing issue. You all are seeing more families taking advantage of your food pantry services. More people are in need, and give people a sense of what hunger looks like here in our community.
Well, it's really a two-part answer. And I think the first thing is that hunger and food insecurity are sort of used interchangeably, I think without people really understanding, you know, what that means. And there's lots of different definitions about hunger. And usually what I say to people is that it can mean anything from a truly bare cupboard to a long-term dependence on really low nutrition, poor quality food. And so there is hunger in Grant County that fits everywhere in that spectrum. We serve about 325 kids a week with the Alimento Para El Niño program. It has been as high as 450 kids a week when the mines lay off. That the number that we serve goes up quite a bit. Now that's, those are kids that for whatever reason, a teacher, a social worker has reason to believe that they're coming to school on Monday morning, not having had enough to eat over the weekend. In the beginning, when we first started the Grant County Community Food Pantry, we were serving somewhere around 100 families per distribution. It went down, you know, once the mines went back to work and it seemed like things have kind of began to come back a little bit, it went down. We're seeing a trend, an increasing trend, as you said. In the last 6 months, the number of people that we're serving has doubled. I think as awareness builds, as we build partnerships with Gospel Mission and other organizations that are doing similar kind of work, we're reaching more people. We're actually reaching people that we weren't reaching before, so that explains part of the increase. The other thing that we see that I think is really shocking is the number of seniors that need food assistance. And I think this is something that people aren't really very conscious of. The cost of living has increased greatly over the last number of years, and people who are on fixed income has not increased. And so as the cost of things continues to go up, healthcare, utilities, you know, all these different kinds of things, it really, really puts a lot of stress on people who have fixed incomes or low incomes. You know, wages have not increased at all to speak of in the last 4 or 5 years. I think that there are a lot of people in this county who are really struggling at the end of the month, food stamps and other kinds of assistance that don't stretch far enough. There are certainly people in the community who have empty cupboards. And there are a lot of people in this community. I think one of the things that we don't really think about, you know, hunger, I think for a lot of people is, you know, you think about the, you know, starving children in Ethiopia thing. And, you know, and really the kids that are hungry in Palomas, for example. And it's true, there's lots of hungry kids in Palomas, but there are a lot of families struggling right here in Grant County and, you know, in the state and in the whole country.
So, and nutrition, you mentioned sort of the nutrition aspect.
Right.
So explain that to us a little bit more.
The facts are that if you're struggling to put food on the table and you are going to make the in the position of needing to make the choice between buying 10 boxes of macaroni and cheese and 10 apples, you're going to buy the 10 boxes of macaroni and cheese. And families who live on that kind of food in the long term, for one thing, children particularly missing out on the nutrition that they need to form their brains and their bodies. You know, studies show that there is a direct correlation between kids who are not getting enough fresh, healthy food to eat and their lifetime of poverty. There's really two kinds of poverty, generational and systemic. And you know, families have things happen that cause them to struggle temporarily. There's also lots of generational poverty, and at least part of the cause of generational poverty is children who, from the get-go, don't have the nutrition they need to be productive members of society. And it's pretty darn hard to focus at school when you aren't getting enough to eat. And it's a problem that I think we, you know, we skim the surface of. We know it's a bad thing for kids not to get enough to eat. We just don't know how bad it is. And I don't think we really, you know, we don't connect the dots in a long-term, big-picture way, in my opinion. And I talk to people all the time who, moms who really struggle to put food on the table during the summer. You know, they really rely on school lunch and breakfast to feed their kids, particularly as they get older and, you know, teenage boys that want to eat and eat and eat and eat and eat, and there just isn't the food for them to eat and eat and eat and eat. And I think we don't really have any concept of what that's like. And, you know, it's not just the architecture of one's brain, but the mental and emotional and behavioral stress that comes with that as well.
That's right.
So hunger is a very, very broad description for a lot of issues.
Right.
So
we'll be right back after this short break and continue our discussion with Alicia Edwards of the Volunteer Center of Grant County. Welcome back to Earth Matters. My guest here today is Alicia Edwards, Executive Director of the Volunteer Center of Grant County, and we're discussing hunger and food security here in our community. And we just, Alicia just gave us an overview of all the different ways hunger and food insecurity can be defined here in our community. And let's sort of shift gears and talk about how the Volunteer Center is working to alleviate hunger in our community. And Alicia, you guys just have a whole range of different projects like the food pantry, and you mentioned a bit about the backpack program. So maybe you could give us a sense of all the different ways that you're working to provide food security for people.
Well, we are trying to focus on both long-term and short-term solutions. So we do really supplemental food distribution. So we have the Grant County Community Food Pantry, and under that fall a number of different kinds of things. We do two distributions here in Silver City a month at the Commons. We do a mobile food pantry in the mining district. We have a mobile food pantry in Gila that is relatively new. It's for seniors, less than a year old. We also have a project happening in down in Hachita to reach seniors who need food assistance down there. We have the Alimento para El Niño backpack program, which serves kids that aren't getting enough to eat on the weekends, as we mentioned. We do a senior helpings box for seniors, homebound seniors. We also provide assistance to Loaves and Fishes, which is an organization out of Las Cruces that does senior commodities. And we are, and when I say we, I can't stress enough that when I say we, what I really mean is our volunteers. Also deliver about 80 senior commodities boxes to seniors who need them and can't get to the distributions.
So when you say commodities, tell us what commodities really are.
Commodities are government-provided food, and there's two kinds. There's TFAP, which is for everyone, and then there's a CSFP, which are specifically for seniors. And under CSFP also falls the WIC program for women, infants, and children. So if a person qualifies for the WIC program, they can also get CSFP commodities. And for commodities, there's some paperwork and some qualifications. You have to be able to provide a picture ID and a self-stated proof of income and proof of residency.
And the income level is roughly what?
I think the minimum income for a family of four is around $1,200 a month. Might be a little bit less than that. And then we also distribute food for which there is no requirement. And basically, we call that self-stated need. So you can come and say that you need food, and we'll give you a box. And the idea behind that is that there are people who need food assistance who can't provide the required documentation in order to get commodities. And to just back up just a tiny bit and talk a little bit about how the Grant County Community Food Pantry came about, going back to these community conversations and the idea that one of the four priorities was to have a community food pantry that served everyone, we had the opportunity to really start a food pantry from scratch. All of the people who participated in starting it were volunteers. They were very, very committed and dedicated to that project. And we got to investigate and choose the best practices of food pantries. And I actually went around and toured a lot of food pantries and, you know, talked about the best way to do a food pantry. And so what we are basically modeled on is the Storehouse in Albuquerque. The Storehouse is the largest food pantry in the country, and they have what they call a self-stated, self-select pantry. And so you state that you need food, and it works a little bit like a grocery store. Within the parameters of what we have, people get to choose. And the idea behind that is that with commodities, you're just giving people a box of food. And what we're able to do with the self-stated need self-select pantry is use a lot of purchased and donated food to increase the nutritional quality of what we're giving out and ensure that the food people are getting is food that they really can use. One of the things that is really a struggle for us in doing food pantry work is that, for example, a senior commodities box might have a whole gob of really high sodium food in it, or, you know, sugary drinks, or, you know, things like that that isn't really appropriate for right. the people that we're trying to feed. And this is really a national conversation about which is more important, to put calories in people's stomachs or to give them healthy, nutritious food. And when we started out, our goal was to be able to distribute the healthiest, most nutritious food we possibly could. One of our most significant partners in this project was the Silver City Food Co-op. They were and continue to be an absolutely amazing partner. And one of the things that they do is sell us organic brown rice and organic oats and pinto beans at wholesale so that we can distribute the things that are basically considered staples, food staples, mm-hmm. and really try to elevate the quality of that.
So a typical commodities box, what is in, I mean, are you following the food pyramid or, you know, what goes into a box? You mentioned this is government commodities,
right.
but for people who aren't really familiar with government commodities, what really would people get? And is this a monthly or a weekly basis?
It's monthly, and I can tell you that the folks who run the commodities program have never talked to the folks over in the food pyramid department.
Okay.
One of the things that that we're looking at for the future is we're going to have some serious food supply issues. And there's a lot of different reasons for that, but the two primary ones are that Congress is cutting,
right.
cutting,
right.
and people are not, middle and low income people are not bouncing back from the Great Recession. I know that the news says that it's over, but it's not. And the demand on the food banking system is tremendous right now. And in fact, Feeding America is predicting that they're going to have a 50% reduction in available food for 2014.
Wow.
So when you say typical commodities box, it's a hard question to answer. When we started the food pantry, the food banking system was getting a lot of funding from the recovery dollars,
okay.
From stimulus dollars. And an average box was, you know, around 50 to 55 pounds and usually had some pretty good stuff in it. Dried fruit and canned fruit and some juice and, you know, things like that that was really pretty good food. This past year, we've had commodities boxes that were as little as 10 pounds and had a bag of prunes and, you know, a box of macaroni in it. So typical isn't very typical
okay.
at this point. You know, the days of cheese and peanut butter, and I think that's really what people associate with commodities
right.
is cheese and peanut butter.
And
those days
milk,
have been over
right?
for a long time.
Or milk?
Milk.
They used to
yeah,
give out milk.
We do get UHT milk sometimes and powdered milk sometimes. But, you know, the whole thing with commodities is very tightly tied to the farm bill. So whatever the farm bill is subsidizing is a lot of what comes in commodities. Mm. And so it's also seasonal, you know. I can remember the first year that we started the food pantry, we had applesauce. I mean, we had so much applesauce. We were giving people 10 and 12 cans of applesauce because that was something that had been subsidized
right,
through
right.
the farm bill. So there's a lot of different factors that go into a commodities box. Now, we give commodities boxes because it helps us give food to people, but the food pantry side of it is where we can have some more control over that. Now, the control is also a relative word because we have the constraints of how much funding we have and, you know, what's available in the marketplace, basically.
Sure.
So,
and then I think you had 200 some odd volunteers last week for Thanksgiving. I think I read that in your email. Maybe
wow.
That's too high.
That's a big number.
I thought I read that, but regardless, you
right.
have a lot of volunteers to make
yes.
this happen.
Yes,
we do. And always have a need for volunteers. So how do people, if they, you know, really want to volunteer and get involved in the food pantry or any of the other programs that you've got, what?
Call us, 388-2988. Say that you want to volunteer. Show up an hour before a food distribution. Say that you want to volunteer. Email us. You can email us at info@tvcgrantcounty.org. And we can always use volunteers. You know, to sort of tie all this back to where we started, you know, we wanted to engage volunteers in ending hunger and poverty in Grant County. And we work with typically 2 to 250 volunteers a month. We have a huge list of volunteers that we work with. People have given so much of their time and energy to make these things happen. It's hard work. It can be mind-boggling, I think, for people, and yet very, very rewarding and absolutely necessary. I want to just sort of give a shout out to the folks that worked really, really hard and have been working actually really hard all fall. Like I said, we're having significant food shortages, and we have a group of volunteers that are working very hard to shop. They get the sales out every week. They look at what's on sale. They go buy it. They schlep it down to the volunteer center. You know, they sort it. There's a lot of work like that happening behind the scenes that really make this possible. People that pack, you know, all this bulk food that we're purchasing from the co-op into 1-pound bags every month and, you know, stuff like that. So it isn't just about being present for distribution either. It's about the incredible amount of work that happens behind the scenes to make it all possible.
I'm sure. We had a lot of donations around Thanksgiving mm-hmm, mm-hmm. from schools and mm-hmm. churches, people donating to the food
yep.
pantry and more opportunities for people to, or is that an ongoing
That's
thing?
That's an ongoing
for
thing. We always take food donations. And one of the things that I think is really great that has evolved over the last several years is we're working in partnership with the other organizations in town that are getting food to hungry people. And if we have too much of something, we share. And if we don't have enough of something, we share. And like, for example, if you do the postal drive, you know, where you put food out for the postman, that's shared between all the organizations. And so, yeah, food drive all the time. It's sort of an ongoing thing. Although this isn't as good as it used to be, we can buy more through the food banking system per dollar than you can at the store. And so we also encourage people to make cash donations. It's very helpful when there's, for example, when there's no peanut butter in the system. You know, that's something that is really important. It's the least expensive per bite of protein that we can give to people. Mm-hmm. And so it's very important for us to be able to have protein and or to have peanut butter. And if we don't have cash to buy it with, it's a lot harder
right,
to acquire.
Right,
so
right.
Volunteer your time, bring us food, bring us cash.
Right,
we can use it all.
So three ways. And,
that's right.
And again, phone number?
388-2988.
And website?
tvcgrantcounty.org.
Okay. We'll be right back after this short break and continue our discussion with Alicia Edwards of the Volunteer Center of Grant County. Welcome back to Earth Matters. My guest today is Alicia Edwards, Executive Director of the Volunteer Center of Grant County, and we're discussing hunger and food security here in our community. And let's start off this segment and talk a bit about food security, more maybe from a system perspective, and maybe you could maybe define that for us. What do we mean when we talk about food security?
Well, I think Food security is really about every person having access to enough healthy, fresh, nutritious food to lead a productive life, basically. And I think food security is sort of is really about two things. In Grant County, we rely on trucks for our food, basically. We produce some food, but not enough to be food secure, locally food secure. The other thing that I think is a big component of food security is a livable wage, what is commonly called a livable wage. And I have a tendency to be a little hesitant to use the language livable wage because I think it's one of those things that sort of has all of this political baggage attached to it. But the bottom line is a family can't live on what they make at working full time at a big box store or a chain restaurant or anything like that. There's an organization in Washington, D.C. called Wider Opportunities for Women. And they did a series of studies called The Best Tables, Basic Economic Security. And New Mexico was one of the states that they did the study in. And they looked at every county. And you can go to their website and look at every county in New Mexico, including Grant, and see what it takes to have basic economic security. In Grant County, it's around $21.72 an hour. There are some variables. It varies by what your family demographic is and whether you get employee benefits and, you know, things like that. But for the sake of the discussion, it's about $21.72 an hour. And there's not many people making $21.72 an hour in Grant County. In fact, the median income for Grant County is $10,000 below what's considered basic economic security. And so food security would be families having enough economic security to be able to buy the food they need to be productive members of our community. That's one of the long-term strategy pieces that we're looking at. We haven't jumped into that with both feet quite yet, but certainly the topic of economic development is something that we think about and talk about frequently. And we're exploring lots of different ways to do that within the Volunteer Center and to work with, you know, the people that we work with around that topic. I'll talk a little bit about a little bit more about that when we talk about the commons, because it's connected to the commons. Okay. But then the other piece that we have been working really hard on in partnership with a lot of other people is how can we grow more food in Grant County? And like I said earlier, you know, when we started out, people really wanted to do community gardens. It turns out that community gardens are much more of an urban concept than they are a rural concept. And your more traditional model of a community garden didn't do real well. It did in some places. Some things are, you know, some pieces of that are going quite well. But really, I think what we have come to the conclusion of is it would be much better to encourage people to grow more of their own food at home. And we're working on a lot of different aspects of that. We're focusing on kids and helping kids to see the need to grow food at home and what a little garden might look like, what a container garden might look like, you know, things like that. We are working on various kinds of school garden projects. We think that school gardens are an area that can really produce a lot of certainly education and interest in the idea of home gardening. I think that people have the perception that it's really hard to garden here, and it isn't easy by any means. I would never go down that road, but it's not that hard either, and you can produce a significant quantity of tomatoes right in your own backyard, right, or even in a container on your porch. And right, so getting people to really think about that is a really important piece. And then also supporting things like the farmers market and figuring out how we can help low-income people participate in the farmers market better. And what I mean by that is, do they have transportation? Do they know they can spend their food stamps at the mm-hmm. farmer's market? You know, things like that. Because that is also building customers for producers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's kind of a tricky thing. We've got to have producers. But in order to have producers, we have to have a market. And so we have to move both of those things forward at the same time. We have to have a really solid community conversation about buying local, why we need to support the co-op, why we need to support the farmer's market, why it's important for local grocery stores to purchase local food and have it available. And all of those things are moving forward. I think it's actually pretty amazing. Of course, the farmers market and the co-op have been around for a really long time, and they've been doing this work for a really long time. But there's also an awareness that I think there wasn't 3 or 4 years ago about the importance of this kind of stuff. There's a new market in the Mimbres. They just finished up their second or third year. You know, there's a lot of things happening around that, and that is food security. Having local food that we have access to is, and then the wages to purchase it with.
Yeah, and Alicia, you're also co-chair of the Grant County Food Policy Council. How does the Food Policy Council fit into some of these food security issues that we've been discussing?
Well, the Food Policy Council got a grant and produced a Grant County Food System Plan. It has a lot of this kind of stuff in it, a lot of ideas about how we could be more food secure in the community, how we can support markets and producers, that kind of thing. We are really looking at water issues right now. The barriers, of course, to production farming are land, access to land and water. There is land and water out there. There are people who want to farm it out there. How can we get those folks together? The Food Policy Council, I think, job is to really have a big picture eye on what it is that we need in order to be food secure in Grant County. So that's what we're working on.
Okay, so we'll be right back after this short break and continue our discussion with Alicia Edwards of the Volunteer Center of Grant County. Welcome back to Earth Matters. My guest here today is Alicia Edwards, Executive Director of the Volunteer Center of Grant County, and we're discussing hunger and food security here in our community. And I had the privilege to tour recently the Volunteer Center's new home over at the Common Center. And what a fabulous place. And Alicia, maybe you can tell us more about the Common Center, where it is and what your goals are with building this beautiful new building.
Well, the Commons. This project was built with the earmark, as I said, from Senator Bingaman's office and some other help from the Daniels Fund and the McCune Foundation and the Freeport-McMoRan. And the idea behind it originally was it was going to be a food pantry. And as it took longer and longer to get access to the money and do all the hoops that you have to go through and all that, our work also evolved, and it became the Common Center for Food Security and Sustainability. And it's meant to be a physical symbol of a very broad vision of food security for Grant County. Kevin Robinson designed the building. We asked him to create something that was visionary and unlike anything else in Grant County, and I think he accomplished that within our budget. We also, it's very, very important to us to walk our walk as much as we possibly can. And so it's also meant to do some other things, like it's a passive solar building. We can do lots of water recovery. So it's really about demonstrating a lot of different kinds of things, how things could be different in this community.
And so you have the food pantry there, but you're also a community commons center.
Exactly.
And commercial kitchens.
We have a commercial kitchen. It's not quite finished yet, but we think it'll be done right after the first of the year. We know that there's a lot of interest in doing small food business related incubation projects. We are working with the Delicious New Mexico and their Mixing Bowl project. We've applied for a grant to roll out the Mixing Bowl here in Grant County, which is an economic development project related to food businesses. The meeting space is for rent. It's a very nice meeting space. It has, you can show movies and, you know, that kind of thing. I think we're going to have, once we get the gardens and things like that going, I think it'll be the nicest public space in town for doing events. We have, during the Clay Festival 2 years ago, we built an Orno. We'll be able to do community baking in that. There's lots and lots of, we have way, way more ideas than we will ever have time, I think, to get going in there. But in the meantime, the other really important thing that we want to do is grow food. Mm-hmm. And we have a significant amount of space to do that. We were very fortunate to get a PNM grant to do a well. The Rotary Club, we're going to be the beneficiaries of the Rotary Auction this year to do a commercial greenhouse. Our intention really is to grow a significant amount of food.
And so you're going to need more volunteers for that,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
And what about educational opportunities? I think
there will be tons of educational opportunities. Everything about what we're doing at the Commons is about education and demonstration. People will be able to, we'll have workshops. We do workshops. We've been doing workshops, you know, for the last 3 or 4 years related to food and food growing. That part of what we're doing will continue to grow. People will be able to come and learn while they volunteer their time. One of the things that is really important to me in connection with the Commons is for people to be able to see how much food can be grown in a really relatively small area. And the food that we're going to grow will be primarily distributed through the food pantry. The idea really is to be able to, this is part of our overall goal to increase the healthy nutritional food that we're able to distribute to people. So there's just going to be all kinds of, there is all kinds of different things about what we're doing that are educational and that people can really come and see them working.
Right. And the long name of the Commons Center, Food Security and Sustainability, tell us a bit more about your vision for sustainability and how the Commons Center is sort of fulfilling that mission.
Well, the physical space itself, it's passive solar. We are able to maintain the temperature in the building at a relatively comfortable temperature this summer. With no mechanical cooling, we were able to keep it below 85 degrees in there, even on the hottest day. It's a little chilly in the winter. I think the coolest it's been in there is around 55. So it's a little chilly, but it's still quite doable, and when the sun comes in the southern side of the building, it warms everything up.
So it's that concrete floors that are soaking
giant
up
thermal mass floors, and we have a big north-facing thermal mass with the ICF forms. The building, a lot of people are really puzzled by the roof. It's called a butterfly roof. The purpose of it is that all of the water that is on the roof goes down to the middle and then off of it. The roof, we can recover about 3,000 gallons of rainwater for every inch of rain that falls. The thing that I think is really amazing about it is when we have condensation on the roof, I mean, there is an incredible amount of water that comes off of it just from condensation,
Right.
you know, when it's frosty.
Right,
it's really pretty amazing. And on the west side of the building, we have a Food Corps member. Kristen Lundgren is her name, and she's working on a project on the west side of the building. We have a series of five hoop houses, small hoop houses there. Each one cost about $50 to build. They're being watered by the water that's coming off of the roof. She's dug a series of trenches, and we have greens in there right now. So that is going back to what I'm saying about this whole idea of demonstration and education. You can come by and see what you can create for very little money on a very small spot in your yard, and you could have greens right now in the middle of December or in the middle of February or whenever. So there's lots of exciting stuff like that happening and going to be happening at the Commons.
And you mentioned you'll be growing a lot of food. You've got fruit trees planted. What other sorts of things? What's your vision for what will be planted there? How many acres do you have, by the way?
Well, the plantable area is about a half an acre.
Half an acre?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
We'll have lots of greens. We'll be doing greens in cold frames and hoop houses. We're going to grow lots of tomatoes. We'll grow carrots, squash, a lot of squash, things that people can store. Let's see, sweet corn. I'm really hoping for sweet corn. we'll do things like herbs and medicinal herbs, stuff like that. We're gonna cram plants into every corner of it.
And how's it going to work? Are you just gonna have a cadre of volunteers, or will it be kind of like a traditional community garden where people get a plot or something, or a group
of
volunteers?
We're not gonna do plots. I shouldn't say we're not going to do plots, because that's not completely off the table. And that was really where our thinking started, was to do the traditional model. But we toured a small project this fall, and it completely changed our minds about how much food we could grow there. And so we'll use cadres of volunteers to grow the food that we're going to grow, but we're going to grow it a little bit differently. It'll be really much more like a traditional small truck farm type thing. We're going to do production farming. And hopefully, I was talking with a fellow just a few weeks ago that looked down the length of the property and said, well, you could grow 300 to 500 pounds of carrots in one row right here. So I'm anticipating being able to grow some significant food
and
have volunteers help us do that.
And how are you going to farm this so intensively? I mean, so that sounds like a lot of carrots in that one row. So
what's the trick?
What's the magic there to produce so intensely?
I'm not entirely sure.
Well, you guys were doing when I toured, you were doing the digging the trenches and putting in all that compost.
Right.
And
and that's the thing. I think the secret is going to be, one, we're going to use a drip system. And so we'll be able to use our water very effectively. Two, and if you came by today, you'd see bags and bags and bags of leaves. So we're going to be
more
doing
for you.
Oh, good.
If you need them.
Yes, bring them on. We're going to be doing lots of natural soil amending. And we're going to be really, really focused on maximizing every square inch of the commons. Now, we have our one rule about planting is that everything we plant on the grounds of the commons either has to be food producing or pollinator friendly. And so we're really looking at a very holistic vision of what we can do. You know, we need to have bees, we need to have birds, we need to have, you know, beneficial insects, you know, all of these different kinds of things. And this is kind of going back to both the education and the demonstration piece as well. This is what can happen if you do these kinds of things.
Will you be following permaculture type concepts?
We will.
sort of harvesting rain across the landscape.
Yep, lots of different kinds of things like that. Yeah. And I mentioned earlier that we have more projects than we'll ever have time. But, you know, we've had some conversations with Van Clothier about how we can do some rainwater harvesting off of the street. And just there's so many possibilities.
So,
and that's what we want the community to think.
Right. So if people want to come by and check it out, where are you guys located?
13th and Corbin. The most recognizable landmark is the Knights of Columbus. If you turn off of Swan and go past the Knights of Columbus, we're right next door, right on the creek. Come by and have a look.
And what creek is that? Is it PA Creek?
Yes,
it's PA Creek because it's a beautiful riparian area with trees and lovely spot.
It's a great spot. And it has the best tree in town on it. It has a beautiful Navajo willow on the front of the property.
Oh.
Which is the first thing that I saw when we looked at it.
Giant tree. Yep. Oh, yep. Lovely.
It's a Navajo willow.
Very nice.
Yep.
Very nice. So let's give everybody your phone number, website again, if they want to volunteer or make a donation of canned goods or non-perishable items, as well as if they just like to break out the checkbook.
That's right.
That is super helpful. So again, tell us how we can get in touch.
So come by and visit us, 501 East 13th. Don't rely on your GPS to get you there. It doesn't work. We're at 13th and Corbin. Call us, 388-2988. If you're having trouble finding us, call us. Email us at info@tvcgrantcounty.org or our website, tvcgrantcounty.org.
All right. Thank you so much, Alicia, for talking with us today and educating us about hunger and food security in our community and how we can get involved.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
We hope you'll join us again for next week's edition of Earth Matters here on Gila Membrus Community Radio.